Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 70 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again after a week hiatus is Eddie Eith, the AP Fanboy YouTube channel. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Glad to be back. I've been waiting a week for this.
Yeah, I know. You were thinking about that 3-star hotel that you were trying to figure out.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be fine with a Days Inn, but
okay. But you do get some minutes in this 3-star hotel. So we've been talking about the different conversations between the men, between Miller and Horvath and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But here we have a conversation between the men. So minute 70 begins with Ryben starting to tell his tale and ends with Wade continuing his story. So first of all, I mentioned this earlier in the week. I like the way that they're slowly helping us develop these characters. Because we don't know what's going to happen to any of these characters. We don't know who's going to live, who's going to die, who's going to make it, who's not, throughout the rest of this movie. But the way that they are changing the trope in many World War II movies, the characters are just known for their ethnicities. You get the Italian guy, you get the Jewish guy, you get the New Yorker, you got, the hick from the sticks, in Iowa, just the different types of characters and stuff like that. And here they actually don't want to leave it just as stereotypes. They want to say, okay, these are the guys that we want you to meet. And we're going to teach you, we're going to let you find out more about each of these characters, as things are going on. But we're still not going to tell you who's going to make it and who's not.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pivotal scene in a lot of war pictures, where you have in the middle where everyone just relaxes and chats and like you said, we're trying to figure out who we're going to feel, who we're going to cry the most over once they get killed, but this is a motif that you see throughout war movies, from Dirty Dozen, Kelly's Heroes, Saving Private Ryan, Expendables 2, it's a very common but very important scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. And so Ryben starts with his story by saying, "My ma, she would have come home, shook me awake, chatting me up till dawn. I swear that woman was never too tired to talk." And then Mellish gets his dig in there and goes, "Yeah, that's probably the only time she could get a word in." Which it's a funny dig the way that he does it. But I also look at this and I say to myself, Ryben is. Do you think Ryben is that talkative in this movie that it makes it sound as if, there's a reason that Mellish would make this comment?
I mean, I think it kind of goes back to that he has a swagger about him. He's also the kind of guy where he needs to be in control and let everyone else know that he's in control.
Okay.
It seems also because he's the guy who's challenging the captain the most. Who's always like, why, second guessing, why are we doing this? What's going on? And I think, he thinks that he has a better idea of how to get through that, of how to get through this. And I think that might be kind of that bravado that he brings off is kind of playing into that comment where it's like, oh, this guy never shuts up, telling us how we should be doing this job. Of course.
Interesting. No, you're right. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. But see, I think it has something to do with part of the script that was cut, because I've read the novelization, and in the novelization he has a lot more to say. So it could be that at some point, in the script, Reitman was meant to be much more talkative. He's, they talk about the fact, I mean, later on in the movie, they talk about the fact that he used to work in his mother's, clothing shop. In the adaptation, it talks about the fact that, he was interested in going to a place in France that created lace and things like that, just to be able to go and get all that information. And he's always talking about that. So it could be that that's part of it, that and they might have changed it once they, once they gave the role to Ed Burns. I don't know.
Oh, he's a born salesman. Okay.
So he's a born salesman and he wants to go buy like pantyhose or something like that, for in order to be able to bring it back to America and change the way things are and stuff like that. He's constantly talking about it. So I don't know. So it's just funny that Mellish makes this comment, but again, anyone who's been watching the last 69 minutes of this movie will not say that Ryben is the most talkative of everyone here. So I don't know, maybe that's where it comes from. I don't really know. And at this point, Wade then continues talking. He goes, "Funny thing is, sometimes she'd come home early, and I'd pretend to be asleep." And Mellish goes, "Who? Your mother?" And he goes, "Yeah." So I guess it's late. It's late at night, so Mellish is a little confused. I don't know. He goes, "Yeah, she's standing in the doorway looking at me, and I just keep my eyes shut. And I knew she just wanted to find out about my day. Then she came home early just to talk to me, and I still wouldn't move. I just pretend to just be asleep." So again, it's telling us a lot about these characters. I mean, we found out just a few days ago that his mother, if I remember correctly, I think she was a nurse, or she was, it's, I think he said she was a resident, which means it could be that she was either a nurse or a doctor, which basically tells you that, here we have a character who is he's the medic, and he has somewhat of a familial medical background, I guess you could say. From that perspective, maybe that's what gave him the urge to want to be work to save people. I don't know. I mean, the novelization also mentions that he's the oldest of the men in the squad. They say that Wade is like 26, but there's no way that Giovanni Ribisi could pass as a 26-year-old at this point in his career. Not at all. He looks even younger than Upham. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's interesting.
Do you remember? Do you know Wade's first name? Do you remember? I mean, it'll be mentioned a few weeks from now, but do you remember if
No.
they? His name is Irwin. Irwin Wade.
Irwin. Okay. Okay.
Right, so basically, the big theme of, I guess, part of this week and today's episode is, these guys are talking about, staying up late. It's the middle of the night. They're talking about that and stuff like that. So, do you know, like, what's the best method to try to fall asleep quickly?
counting sheep? I don't know, but I'm sure you're gonna tell me.
Of course, I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
Most questions I ask, I know the answers to. Most, not all.
Of course.
So apparently there's a method that is known as the military method, which apparently takes 120 seconds for someone to fall asleep. And it doesn't matter how much sounds are go if there's gunfire around you, or if even if you drink a lot of coffee and stuff like that. Again, I haven't tested this out, so I couldn't tell you if it really works, but apparently it takes basically almost no time. You have less than 2 minutes, you're going to fall asleep. So you're supposed to relax your entire face, including the muscles inside your mouth, drop your shoulders to release the tension, and let your hands drop to the side of the body. Now, Eddie, I don't want you falling asleep on me right now. I see you're starting to follow my instructions here. Exhale, relaxing your chest. Relax your legs, thighs, calves. Clear your mind for 10 seconds by imagining a relaxing scene. If that doesn't work, try saying "don't think" repeatedly for 10 seconds. apparently at that point you're supposed to fall asleep within 10 seconds. Again, I don't know if this is complete BS or if it's real, but apparently during World War II it was created by a man named Lloyd Winters,
Okay.
who wrote a book that eventually was published called Relax and Win, Relax and Win Championship Performance, and the idea is to teach people to fall asleep in 120 seconds. Again, what he's basically saying is that if you completely relax your body, you're going to fall asleep very quickly. I don't know if that's a,
Sure,
do you
yeah.
fall asleep quickly or does it take you a while to fall asleep?
It depends. A lot of times it depends on how much caffeine I've had.
Okay. Okay. I mean, for me, it drives my wife crazy that it doesn't matter how tired I am or anything like that. I can generally just put my head on the pillow and fall right asleep. It drives her nuts because she claims that she sits there, for hours trying to fall asleep with less success, and so I don't know. So again, most of the remedies that I found in this article talks about basically relaxing and stuff like that.
Okay.
Visualizing calm places and stuff like that. So again, I don't know how much it really works or doesn't, but I don't know.
Cool. Yeah.
And then
Magnesium, I know, is supposed to help you fall asleep. That's
yeah.
yeah. Magnesium, and then they hear these rumors about tart sour cherry juice. It's what pro athletes use.
Interesting. Okay. All right, now let's talk about the opposite. What's the best way to stay awake?
I mean, just moving.
That is
I'm
correct.
guessing.
That is the number one answer here. Move your body. Okay, so there are 10 things on this list. Any other guesses for what might be on that list?
Oh, I'm sure legal addictive stimulants is a caffeine.
Caffeine. Okay. I was gonna say, if you're talking about it, I was saying to myself, if you're talking about caffeine, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm sure caffeine, water, general just fresh air, exercise. I mean, a lot of that gets back to moving. What else is on the list?
Okay, so number one on the list, as I said, is get yourself moving your body. So if you take a 10 or 15 minute walk, that usually will help recharge you, especially if you do it outdoors, because the oxygen helps to refresh your body and make you more alert at the same time. You can do it if you're inside, but they do say that it is better to do it outside than inside. Right then, so number two is take a nap. Okay, so if you want to stay awake, so you basically need to take a power nap earlier on, and it will help increase alertness once you wake up and stuff like that. This is something that students do very often when they're, or people that are working on the night shift and things like that. Now, what you do is take a nap. I mean, I remember years ago when I did work like once a week on a night shift, I would go to sleep for like 2 hours before, and that would help keep me awake all night. Number three is unplug from your computer and from screens and all that stuff, because they claim that that can actually tire you out. I think for me it works the opposite. When I'm in front of a screen, I'm usually more alert. When I'm not in front of a screen, that's I like I sometimes I'll start reading and I'll fall asleep. But if I'm on a computer, I'm good. So I don't know what that really how that really works. Drinking caffeine is number four on the list. As you said, drinking a cup or two of coffee. There's also caffeine in different types of soft drinks and tea and things like that, which energy drinks, obviously. Number five can be jump in the shower.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
It could be a cold shower or a hot shower, but usually a cold shower will help your circulation and move blood, and also helps decrease sleepiness at the same time.
Okay.
It gives more oxygen into the body to help you stay more alert. Number six is drink some water. The idea is that part of the thing of making you tired could be that you're somewhat dehydrated or something like that. So therefore, if you drink water first thing in the morning and constantly drinking water throughout the day, it will help you to stay hydrated and help you stay awake along the way.
Okay.
Number seven is eat a snack. Try to find like nourishing foods to eat, like trail mix, dried fruit, meat, nuts, cheese, apples, nut butter, veggies, hummus, Greek yogurt, berries, things like that.
Okay.
Number eight is do deep breathing exercises, which I guess goes back to the military method that we were talking about before. And number nine is just get more sunlight. The whole idea of giving your body more vitamin D, stuff like that, which is apparently very helpful in helping you to stay more alert and stay awake with
There you
the
go.
whole thing. So there you go. It's some tips out there.
All right.
Whether they work or don't, I couldn't tell you. These guys don't need it because they're just having a conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
Talking about
a
their
lot of
mother.
those seem, yeah, a lot of those seem like common sense solutions.
Okay, and what's wrong with common sense solutions?
Yeah.
They could be helpful also. Don't we all like common sense solutions for things?
True.
Why do you have to rack your brain for something that's more complicated? Sometimes the simplest solution, as you said, is right there in front of you. It's a very simple, common sense one. But again, it goes back to what I was starting to say at the beginning of today's episode. The fact that I like the way that they're making these characters more accessible to us, so we can understand them. Like on the one hand, you have one character who wants to sit there and will talk with his mother all night. The other one who wants to talk to his mother but is for some reason still keeping himself sleeping or pretending to be sleeping. Ne next week maybe we'll get a little more into that when he continue while he continues his story. But yeah, I like the way they do this. So did you have anything else you want to say about this romantic style episode taking place in a three-star church in the middle of Normandy.
I'm good, thanks.
All right, so every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg directed films. Now I know there aren't that many here, so it probably was really simple for you to do this one.
And I you know, it's you said directed movies, and I could have done the episode of Columbo that he directed, but I didn't. I didn't.
You would
These are
I've
all
seen it. I've seen it. You would put that in your top five? See,
No.
I don't know about that.
It's one of the better episodes of Columbo, but anyway,
It is one of the good episodes of Columbo, no question about it. I've seen them
yes.
all. Last year, I sat and watched every one of them. And
Oh, wow.
some of them are much better than others, no question about that. Would I say that the Steven Spielberg one was one of the tops? Probably not.
Okay. But and so anyway, so number five for me is Lincoln. Number four, Saving Private Ryan. Number three, Jurassic Park. Number two, E.T., the Extraterrestrial. And number one, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Interesting. Okay, so why is Last Crusade number one on
I
your
love
list?
Sean Connery. I love Sean Connery in that movie, and I think the father-son dynamic adds a whole new dimension to Indy.
Okay,
And to me
you aren't
that.
the first person to have it on your list. There are two
Yeah.
other people that have put it on their list. You're the first one to put it at the top of your list, which is very, very interesting to see.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing, growing up, of course, we brought home all three Indie movies from McDonald's.
Because there's only three of them.
watching them over and over again. Well, really, it was Raiders and Last Crusade. I just was drawn to that story, and that's one of those I know every crevice of that movie. And if it just sat it on, I would. It's one of those things. It's one of those movies that I could probably recite verbatim while watching it, and not even realize that I'm doing it.
No ticket. Yes, I don't think I could quote it verbatim, but I know a lot of quotes from the movie. I am a big fan of Last Crusade, but I'm also a big fan of Raiders and of Temple of Doom at the same on the same level. I think that Last Crusade is the funniest of the three. They threw in a lot more humorous situation.
He chose poorly.
Poorly. That's right. We named the dog Indiana. Now, my favorite line is when when Sean Connery is in the back of the plane and he shoots the tail of the plane, and then he turns to Indy, and he goes, "I'm sorry, son, they got us."
Precisely.
Well, come on, that's yeah. I do think that
Yes.
the Harrison Ford and Sean Connery are perfect as father and son in this movie. No question about that. Especially given the fact that what were they like 15 years apart or something like that. It's not even.
Yeah,
No,
yeah.
maybe no, I think it was like
I
13
think it
years
was 12.
apart.
It was like 12 years. Yeah, it was something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, but they pulled it off. That they did.
Well, just even the idea that they're trying to cast that part, and Spielberg's like, no, his dad's got to be James Bond, and then they actually get James Bond.
Correct.
And it's also funny, because I got into the Bond films after seeing Indiana Jones, after seeing Last Crusade. So then to realize that, it gave me a whole different appreciation for Connery's Bond.
That's true also. Knowing that he's the father of Indiana Jones. Yeah. I enjoy that. I definitely understand that sentiment. All right. So, Eddie, is there anything else you want to say about the movie in general? Something about Saving Private Ryan? It could be, from around this area of the movie, something before, after, whatever. Whatever it is. Like I said, anything you want to talk about?
I just think it's an important viewing. It's to me required viewing for any American. This is about my grandfather's generation. I had a grandfather who served in the Coast Guard during World War II, and this I feel is the best representation of the national mindset and what we were going through at that time. I think it's one of those things. It's not necessarily something I don't know if I would call this a rewatchable. It's not something that I go that you go to again and again over and over, but it's definitely something that I think everyone should see at least once and revisit periodically.
Okay. Okay, I will disagree with you on that. I think people should watch this more often, but that's okay. We're allowed to have difference of opinions there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I'm doing 169 episodes of this, and you're doing five.
And thank you again for having me, and I look forward to seeing to hearing this, to hearing the rest of Saving Private Ryan, and seeing what movie you choose next.
I would like to see what movie I choose next also. I know at this point I don't know. So we'll keep it there. I have, let's put it this way, I have now another less than 100 episodes of this one to worry about it.
Yeah, best on you, man.
Hey, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. That's the important thing, isn't it?
There you go. There you go. Good on you.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, why don't you once again tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on X at Eddie Eith. That's EDDIEEITH. And my YouTube channel is AP Fanboy, where I do movie trailer reactions and different musings on what's going on in fandom. I've been watching movies and TV all my life, and I think it's about time I got paid for
And that's always a good thing.
it.
I'm willing to take residuals if you're willing to give them out. All
All
right,
right.
and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can send me an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So, Eddie, thank you very much for joining me this season. It's been a lot of fun. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
As
All
always.
right.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I will be, everyone should have a great weekend. I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, earn this. Earn it.
My solitude, you reveries of days gone by.